It's Bill Left with you on WGN. So which ads were good? Which ads were bad? Let's talk to the chief creative officer for Olsen in Minnesota and one of the top ad guys in the galaxy, Dennis Ryan. Dennis, did I oversell it or undersell it?
No, I think that was that seems spot on with a unique selling proposition, Bill. You're a natural.
Thank you for saying that. That's very, very nice of you. Dennis, I know that they go for what you guys in the ad game call wow factor. Was there much wow factor in last night's game with the ads? Did you see a lot that you just think people will be talking about all day today?
No, I think people will definitely be talking about it, whether or not, for the last 5 years, you and I have had this conversation where the ads are as good as last year. But, you know, people are keyed up about it. It gives some for the national conversation. There's plenty to talk about in the morning. You know, there was, frankly, plenty to talk about last week. They seem to, reveal them all about a week ago.
And I always wonder if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I guess if you're going for word of mouth, you get those mouths talking a couple of days before or weeks before the game. That's not a bad thing. But everybody's jumped onto that, haven't they?
Without a doubt. And I think it's real simple. I mean, for 30 seconds to spend $3.8 million, you want to make sure you get as much out of 30 and people are paying attention to it. And if you're at a party, my friend Bill told me to watch this and be quiet, listen to this one. I mean, that's at $3.8 million, that's just a whole lot of rum balls. So you've got to get your money back. And, and online, you can really build an audience and build word of mouth, and you can put different versions in and things like that.
What's in it for a company that has such incredible brand awareness? Let's say Pepsi for a minute. Everybody in the country knows about Pepsi, and you either drink it or you don't. So what's in it for them to spend $3.8 million? Are their sales going to change dramatically based on whatever ads they put out?
That's a fair question, and if I ever said no, then I would be out of a job. So, of course,
so the answer is yes.
It all depends, Bill. Advertising is the engine that drives American commerce right there. No, I think the question really, especially with Pepsi, Pepsi's a fashion product, and you or I might not be jumping back and forth between Coke and Pepsi, but younger people are still figuring things out, and these are habits they'll develop that last the rest of their lives. So reaching them, and God knows Pepsi put plenty of money into that halftime show with Beyonce tonight. So, it does make a difference, and certainly down the road, or believe me, there's all kinds of science behind this stuff. And if it didn't work, well, they'd be spending their money on something else. That's for sure.
See, Dennis, every time I see one that I go, well, I know that's out there. That's been out there forever. I'm always wondering, but then, like, there were a couple ads tonight, or last night, I should say, for Red's Apple Ale, which I had never heard of. I don't know if it's new, I don't know if it's old, but I think that's money well spent, because what they just did is they created an awareness, and it's a name I had never heard of, and now I know it's out there.
Yeah, no, and that's very, very true. And, I frankly had to look them up. I think Miller Brewing makes them,
but
which is surprising, because I thought Anheuser-Busch had a beverage lock on the Super Bowl, but maybe that's just beer, and since this is an apple cider ale or something, they can get away with it.
So they're allowed to do that. They're allowed to say a company, if they spend enough money with the network, can say, for those 3-plus hours that the games are on, you can't accept advertising from any of our competitors. That's fine?
On the network sponsored buys, and so they buy an exclusive, a category exclusive. However, that said, one of the big things is the local affiliates, like the local network affiliate in Chicago could take local advertising in, and that's when you really go from seeing a 2-minute long Dodge Ram ad to something much more regional.
Yeah.
Because there are local buys allowed, so they can have the local stations make money as well.
Dennis, you would think with the economic climate of the country that a lot of companies would say maybe $3.8 million for 30 seconds isn't quite the way we want to play it, but they had no trouble selling out tonight's game.
Not at all. Not, and they really don't, because there's two things going for them. You can talk about the size of the audience. I think tonight was anywhere from 110 to 120 million people, which is an awful lot of people. But then there's also just something that happens with the Super Bowl. You and I are talking about it now hours later. People talk about the ads, and that is a very unique situation. I mean, back in the day, you talk about, oh, we're buying eyeballs. Well, even if the TV's on, we might have our cell phone out, we might have a tablet out, we might be reading. No one reads. We might be, doing something else. And, because of that, do you really have people engaged with the television, engaged with the commercials? In the Super Bowl, people really are actively watching, and so that's worth a premium.
I think you also have to add into that mix that any other night of the year, people are DVRing their favorite shows and fast-forwarding through some of the commercials. But on Super Bowl Sunday, very few people are doing that, right?
I think you're exactly right. In fact, actually, this could be one of the few examples of reverse DVRing. You know, it's we know it all comes. I mean, gosh, tonight's game was like a basketball game. It came down to the last 5 minutes. And so you skip through the front part just to watch the end, but the rest of it you slow down for the commercials. But what's interesting, and I think DVR companies, you know, it's they know the DVR sends a signal back to the main company, and they sell information to advertisers. And so, frankly, your DVR knows exactly what you're doing, and so it lets people like me know. And what you find are some ads get zapped through just consistently, but then others do get stopped, and people will stop fast-forwarding through a commercial. Oh, let me see what that's about.
Mm-hmm.
If it's entertaining, if it's just, frankly, a more creative commercial.
I want to go through the ones that you think worked and the ones that you think didn't work, but first let me ask you this. I've always wondered if companies can buy, like, placement time. Like, I know that they've spent the money on an ad, but can they say to CBS, hey, we need this in the first quarter, or we need this in the last quarter, or during the halftime show? Can they do that?
They can. Anheuser-Busch has historically done that. They've historically bought the opening spot or the first commercial break after kickoff and things like that because they've spent upwards of $10 and $12 million a year with the Super Bowl. Now, some of the car companies do that. It basically, everything's negotiable, and it really does become a big battle of the media experts sitting there trying to jockey for position. And certainly that 34-minute stretch in tonight's game sent a lot of people fumbling trying to figure out what to do. And if you noticed, there were very few commercials during that time, and the ones you saw were for CBS shows.
Well, as that was going on, Dennis, I said to myself, oh, the network is going to make $1 billion right now because they've got a bunch of time, and all they need to do is just keep running ads. But that didn't happen.
No, because they really don't have a contingency plan for media. What they usually do if they get really stuck is they will replay ads from some of the biggest advertisers because they can only sell so much inventory, and you're not going to take a contingency buy because, you know, people are always afraid of buying in the fourth quarter because by that time, if it's a blowout, no one's watching, you know. And they really don't have a lot of fallback plans for incredibly odd events like we saw tonight.
See, that's the thing, is even though everybody wants to buy early in a game like tonight where the payoff was at the end, you make out like a bandit if you've bought time in the fourth quarter towards the end, don't you?
Without a doubt, because the price does drop, and all the prices are set ahead of time. So, you know, it's and I'm telling you, the media companies looking at the Vegas line just as much as bettors are, because they're watching to see if there is the likelihood of a blowout, then they're really going to try to front, you know, all the advertisers are going to try to front load the broadcast.
All right, let's talk about the ones that worked first, and then we'll talk about the ones that didn't work. What are some of the standouts in terms of the ads that really played well?
Well, it's funny because there's you've got two schools of thought. It's because this one was reviewed earlier, and a woman in my office actually said, did you like this spot? Gosh, I thought it was corny. I thought it was so predictable. And I told her I thought it would be a top five spot, and that's that Budweiser one where the guy raises the
yep.
the Clydesdale from a foal to being in the parade and then, of course, comes back and has a wonderful, tearful reunion. I mean, that was
yep.
just
– And very realistic. Later. Didn't you find that very realistic at the end?
You know what? You know what it was? And it's funny because there was a whole trend. Did you notice how many spots were based on YouTube videos?
Yes.
You know, that was basically Christian the Lion. That's yep. you know, Google YouTube Christian the Lion. You'll see those two guys who – found the lion in Herod's and had to release it back into the wild, and then they're reunited, and
yep.
they play Whitney Houston, and everyone starts weeping. You know, it was basically the exact same thing with nice production value.
It really is a tried-and-true formula of Super Bowl ads to just have an animal in there doing anything, isn't it?
Pretty much. Well, because the other one, and I personally can't like this ad because it's crowdsourced as part of the Doritos Crash the Super Bowl thing, but that goat ad, which, yeah. again— Have you ever just YouTubed goat scream?
No.
Do it. You'll see the finest 7 seconds of your life.
Really?
If you go on YouTube and hit goat scream, and you'll see that this Doritos ad actually, again, also copped a YouTube meme. It's pretty funny, actually, when you watch it. Is a screaming goat? Both disturbing and hilarious.
Well, the other YouTube one that I guess this is the most obvious is the one with Psy, P-S-Y.
Oh.
But honestly, yeah. are his 15 minutes up yet? Every time he comes on,
you know
something
what? I think that's exactly. You know, I got to tell you, he is the most likable Korean of all time. Certainly, much better than his northern neighbors, and I find him charming and funny, and again, oddly disturbing. But you know, I think that would have been a great ad 3 months ago,
right?
You know, and now it just feels like even Psy has gone on and said, I need to move on from this song.
Dennis, do agencies ever just sit down? Do the top heads of agencies just sit in a room and say to themselves, who's hot right now and who's going to be hot at the beginning of February? And whoever the answer to that question is, that's who we're getting. Are there meetings like that?
There's no question. There are definitely meetings like that. However, it's never the heads of agencies. Everyone's looking for the person with the crystal ball, and they're usually 15 and wearing their hat backwards and their pants on the ground. I mean, it's just, you never know. Who's the genius? My God, it was Justin Bieber, and then it was this. And you know, it's like any other fashion. You know, you chase it, and you see what's there, and there's certainly consultants who are closer to driving popular culture. And yeah, so Pepsi turns these people left and right, and I can't tell you how many times. Usually, the agent is in the meeting getting schooled and basically clued in by some culture expert who's predicting trends. And it's a lot like meteorology. You know, sometimes they call it, and sometimes, yeah, not so much.
And you have to know who your audience is, certainly. When you're fishing for the top celebrity, you have to go, if our demographic is 20 to 30, we have to get the celebrity who's hot for 20 to 30, right? Like, I have to think, like, if Lana Del Rey was in a commercial tonight, half the audience would go, hey, Lana Del Rey is in this commercial, and the other half would go, I have no idea who that girl is.
Exactly. Why is she pouting? She's so pretty. She'd be pretty if she smiled. Yeah, that's exactly it. Now, that's a big thing, and with how quickly opinions can change. My God, I just never forget. We were desperately, advertisers were lined up pitching Tiger Woods. Now today they don't do that quite as aggressively.
I don't know why that is, Dennis. Why would that be?
It's strange because the fella can still hit the ball a country mile, so I don't know.
They should get him for Fidelity Mutual. Wouldn't that be perfect?
Anything with Fidelity would be perfect.
Right. That would be absolutely great. I guess the one that had the most celebrities in it was the one that had Seth Rogen and Paul Rudd and LeBron James and Bob Odenkirk all in one ad. That was the most laden with celebrities, wasn't it?
It certainly was, and it was the most, hey, look what we got. We got Bob Odenkirk. He's funny. I love Mr. Show. And Paul Rudd and Seth Rogen. And we'll bring in LeBron. We've got the whole thing cornered, and it just wouldn't end. I mean, the ad was like, I thought it was, boy, this started out okay, but it turned out to like be the advertising version of Seinfeld, you know, an ad about making an ad about nothing.
Yep.
It was just, Samsung just must be lousy with cash, and just, boy, the cash fan was blowing on that one.
And LeBron didn't have to show up. He was just in the little computer screen.
That's the dirty little secret of so many celebrity ads. I mean, you knew that, you know, Paul Rudd and Seth Rogen had to spend some time with Bob Odenkirk. You know, they were on the set and they were working it. Yeah, they pretty much shot LeBron in some locker room somewhere and just put him on a tablet and you were done.
And he probably got paid for that.
You know what? And probably handsomely as well.
I would imagine he did.